Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Take your Bible for me. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And we will read verses 12 and 13. I'll be reading from the King James Bible. If you have it, say amen. The Word of the Lord reads, let's read it in a minute. The Word of the Lord reads, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. As you go to your seats, it's Men's Day. I'll take your seats. It's Men's Day. I want to do something to encourage the men, because it's tough. And if I use for text today, it would just be thou an example. Be thou an example. We have a charge as men to be thou an example. And we have to be an example by leading. We're going to walk through this scripture, and then I'm going to give you an example of a man. It took him a while to get to that place, but he is and was an example. You see, here in this passage of scripture, Paul is talking to Timothy, letting him know that even though he has young, you have been with me for a while, and you have seen things, and you have experienced. See, there's something to say about experience and being there and having it. Athletes can understand that, and I always talk to them. Now, I live vicariously through you all, but I listen to what you all say, talking to my coaches and my athletes. And every time it gets down to championship time, the thing is in that experience that will take you over the top every time, or the majority of the time. And here Paul is saying, Timothy, I know you are young, and people are going to look at you in a different way, because who is this young fella going to tell me what to do? Who is this young man who feels what I would consider wet behind the ears, getting out of diapers? What is he going to tell me? But here Paul is saying, don't worry about being young. Don't let everybody, any man despise your youth. But you go ahead and be an example because of the experience, because you have been with me, you have seen things, and you say, be thou an example in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. That's a lot right there. But I'm only going to focus on two of those. One is, be thou an example in faith, and be thou an example in purity. And I'm talking to the men. Because when we look at faith here, we're talking about not just having faith in God, but faithfulness and commitment to God and the things of God. And then when we're looking at purity, it's keeping yourself unblemished from the things of the world and staying pure. As always, I'm going to break it down a little bit. So I'm just talking to the many. Because there are just three things that just seem to get us in trouble all the time. preaching. And I call it the three G's. They get us in trouble all the time if we're not being a true example. The first G is glory. I'm talking about God's glory. Because by nature, we as men want to figure it out and fix it and get it done. We don't have time for all this nonsense. Get to the point, what you need, let me get it done, let me fix it. Because the sooner I fix it, the sooner I can have some quiet time. So we focus on figuring it out while we're even listening, and figuring it out and coming to a solution. And after it's all done, see if you can get a listen to it. And see, that's where we fail to realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of times we as men, we want to take the credit for the things that God has given us, the ability to do, the insight to do, and we want to get the credit and take God's glory, and that will get you in trouble every single time. Even if though it's in our nature to fix, but we must fix according to God and under the direction and leadership and voice of God. Can I get an amen from my man? I want to hear from you, ladies. I know y'all going to say amen. I know y'all going to say amen. The second one is what I call the goal, which is money. That money has a way of getting us in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. We might not have money. When we get some, oh my goodness, we want to act a fool. And I'm talking so that we can be an example to our young people and those around us. And even though I'm making reference here to the faith and the purity, young people, I want you to understand that you must also be an example. Don't let people get it wrong just because you're young. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. And there's sometimes there's certain things that you don't need to be a part of. You need to walk away from to be an example to those around you. Don't get caught up in the he said, she said. Don't get caught up in the Twitter war. Don't get caught up in that. You need to walk away. And for our adults, there's just some water cooler, a water fountain conversation at the job that we just need to move away from and be down an example. Getting back to that second thing, the goal. It is God that gives us the power to get wealth. And so we must understand that we should not just act the fool. Because we get money, we forget about God. We forget we get money, and we go all over the place. We get money, it leads us into that third thing, and we always want to try to make it right. I'm talking, my man following me this morning, because money gets us in trouble if we don't do the right thing with it when God gives it to us. And so we have to be an example to our youth. We have to be an example to our young people how to save money, how to put away money, how to invest money, how not to let it, as the old folks say, burn a hole in your pocket. As soon as you get it, you want to spend it. You see, we got to teach our young people how to create wealth. There's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. But we don't do the right thing to be that example. So, it's on us. Because if we don't teach them about money, the other people will. And those people that want to teach them about money want to take it from them. Those who understand the concept of interest make it. And those who don't understand the concept of interest will pay. Now that third, I know I'm taking my God's time. We got God's glory. We got the gold. But if you just watch the news, this third one is taking them down left and right. And it don't matter what color they are. That third is curse. That third thing taking them down left and right. Losing salaries of $23 million a year for one day. Is not even their girl. It gets you in trouble because you get money and you get power and you think you can get away with all kinds of things. But what I'm saying is we have to be faithful and committed to the things of God, and we have to stay pure. You can talk about me all you want to, but I'm going to be like Joseph and I'm going to run. I'm 100% man, but I'm going to run. I'm going to get up out of there because you can call me what you want to, but I'm going to run. Because I want to say, you know, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so if you want to be now an example, see, you have to just be faithful and committed to the one. And see, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to break it down to the young people, because you know when you first fall in love, young man, you might not have the best job, but you got a little piece of change in your pocket. And if you're in love, all your treasure is going to go to your heart. You're going to be buying flowers, chocolate, candy, everything, Valentine's Day, because that's where your treasure is, where your and where your heart is, that's where all your money don't go. And so God is saying that if I have your heart, then that means I have your treasure. And God is looking for our hearts, man. He's looking for our hearts in those situations that He has you, and He's testing your faithfulness and commitment to Him. That was for my young people. For my older people, about my age, with spouses, the concept of wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. Because I just, wherever you want. It don't matter, because I'm willing to get to see whatever you want. What does that mean? I am committed to her, whatever she likes, and I can get whatever because all my treasure goes there, and so that's where my heart is. We must be an example in faithfulness and commitment to God and purity. Don't let the three D's take you away from doing what God wants you to do. Well, I want to bring up an example to bring this home about being faithful and going through testing and trying and stop trying to figure it out without God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis, chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God came to Abraham and said, get out of your country. from everything, you know everybody, you know, and get out the Father, and go to a land that I will know. God told Abraham to leave all that he had, and he left on the word of God. He went from the known to the unknown, from certainty to uncertainty, based upon what God has spoke to him. How many of us right now are in a situation where we say, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going on, it's unknown, it's foreign to me, but I'm here because God told me to be here. I have no idea what's going on, but I've got to be an example for those around me because I say I heard the voice of God. I believe I heard the voice of God. So if I crumble now, the example that I will set is that I can't hear from God. And if I did hear from God, I'm not able to really to wait on God to move. How many of us are there right now? And so as men, we say, okay, God, I'm packing up. I'm doing this. But a lot of times, the moment hard times come, we forget about God and we want to figure it out for ourselves. Verse 10 of chapter 12. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. God told him to go to the place, took a detour. Oh, it's getting hot out here. Famine. Let me go down to Egypt. No, they got food down there. Did you hear from the Lord that they go to Egypt? Be faithfulness and commitment to God is in what He told you to do. And to say, it's in the court. But Abraham said, oh, I'm going to get this thing out. I'm going to go down there. And so he went. And I like the next verse. He said, and it came to pass when he came near to Egypt. Yeah, we're going to Egypt now. The food down there, but he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Sarah was 65 and looking good. She was looking real good. King James didn't say a fair woman to look upon. So here is Abraham saying, going down, I know we got to get food, but I'm not David. I know you're looking good. You got it going on. I don't know the vernacular they use today. I thought this was all it is, but back in my day, you know, she was a brick house, and she was a bad mama jamma, but she looking real good. And so Abraham was saying, now, look at this now. When it comes to pass, when the Egyptians shall see this, they will say, this is his wife. So they don't say, oh, that's his wife, and they will kill me. But they will say he's alive. They go, when we get down there, people, you can't say you're going to kill him. You go down there and say you're dead, they don't kill the brother, they don't want to kill you. But who made the detour? So now, he's got to figure out, and now he has fear, and trying to figure it out, because he's fearing for his life. And so fear makes you do a few strange things. So he tells his wife, say I'm crazy. I mean, come on, say thou art my sister, that it may be well with me, for thy sake. Oh, yeah. He tried to say, they're going to keep me alive, so it'll be good for you. It'll be good if I think I'll stay around. And it'll be your bizarre taste, you know. So what I want you to do is I want you to lie for you. I want you to lie for you, but not for me. You know, I want you to lie for you, is what he said. So, you know, I'm going to say, okay, you know, if I'm going, who's going to keep me like I can't keep you, you know. That's basically what was going on. So he said, for God's sake. And that it may be well with me for God's sake, that my soul shall live because of you. said he not unto me, he is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother, and the integrity of my heart and the energy of my hands, I have done this. Here you have been like that. God, I ain't doing nothing wrong. Here I am, they told me that that was sister, and so she was fair game, and so, you know, I'm just being a little mother. I'm just pursuing her. And God said unto him in a dream, yes, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sin against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to come. You see how God is looking after us, even when we make mistakes, even when we are doing wrong. Here he told her to do the same thing again, getting another man's house in trouble. And God said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are left. Look how Abraham set this man up, not only to kill him, but all of his family. If you go to verse 12, you get an understanding. See, because sometimes telling half truth and not all the truth is a lie. Verse 12. Now, let's start at verse 11. Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She's my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. My young people back there like, I'll explain that when the Bible says. Don't do that today. Don't do that today. We have to go back to the Garden of Eden and the purity of the DNA and all that stuff. Bible study. So see, you see here, he was like, I'm not really lying, which he was, his sister. But which one do you think holds the most, your sister or your wife? So here we have a man who out of fear did some things and was a poor example. And then we could go on further in getting into it. And when God had promised him that he was going to have a son, he doubted because he was old. But where I'm going now is to show you that through experience, Abraham became a man of faith and was willing to be faithful and committed to God. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. And tempt is a word in the King James, but it is not tempt, but the word should be translated test. God came to test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. How many of us right now, men, are willing to say, God, behold, here am I? I've learned from my mistakes. But if whatever it is you want me to do, now I'm going to hold true to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. I am going to be faithful and committed to whatever you would have me to do. Oh my goodness. But if God asks you to do something tough, are you still going to be committed? If he asks you to do something, he says, here's what I want you to do. Because right now, Abraham, I'm going to see where your heart really is. I'm going to see if your heart is with me or with that thing that you love dearly. How many of you are willing to leave all that you know and give up all that you have because God asked you to, and to be faithful no matter where it takes you? How many of you are ready to do it? Because God says, men, I'm calling you today. I need some fearless men. I need some faithful men. I need some men who will be on the battlefield, who will take my orders without question. So here he's saying, Abraham, I'm going to test your heart. And so he said, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac. take that thing which you love dearly, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God's been good. God done told you to do something that, hold on, this don't make no sense. Has God ever told you something that at the surface level, without the faith test, the eye test, has told you something that it seems silly, it seems ridiculous, and some of us say, I'm not going to do it. But God is saying, I'm looking for that person who's going to sell out for me. Men, are we willing to sell out for God? And he said, okay, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, anybody see that? On the third day. Quick lesson here, see, Abraham is a type of God the Father. That is, he's foreshadowing something that God himself is going to do. You see, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And if you look down time, God sacrificed his only begotten son for us. So this was a shadow of things to come. And so he took that on the third day. And Abraham said unto his young man, I want you to abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That's an example of faith right there. So he know God told him, I want you to sacrifice this thing that you love. I want you to sacrifice your son. And so now you're going to be an example. What has God told you to sacrifice in the midst of your companions, in the midst of your friends? What has God called you to sacrifice? To give up. And you're afraid to do it, afraid to move forward because you think that thing is going to die. But I admonish you here to have the faith and faithfulness like Abraham. Because Abraham here is saying in his mind, and it's documented in the Hebrews, that if God takes his life, I have so much confidence in him that he is able to raise him up again. If God has taken something from you, man, I want you to know if you just remain faithful to God. If you be an example to your daughter, to your son, to your family in the midst of trouble, don't be moved. I tell my son all the time, don't you get scared till you see me get scared. When you see me tremble, then you tremble. When you see me run, then you run. But as long as I'm standing right here, flat-footed, don't you be afraid. Don't you move. And I may be sweating profusely underneath my shirt, but I'm going to trust in the name of Almighty God, and I'm not going to move. Now, I'm going to show him that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough it gets, you got to be a man. Hey, man, some things are just going to have to take. Sometimes they're going to just have to get punched in the face, punched in the mouth, but God is able. God is calling for some faithful men. And so here, Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid upon Isaac. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham and said, Daddy, paraphrasing him, hold up now. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, we got fire, we got wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So now your children, he's asking his daddy a question. He's like, I know we're going to do an offering, and we've done this many times before. And I know that we got to put something on our wood. I got fire, we got wood, but I don't see a lamb. But here we have this man going up there with his mind is like, I got to kill myself. Sometimes children, sometimes ladies, when the man has a perplexed look on his face, he's in the midst of making a tough decision. It's not that he's upset, it's not that he's angry, but he's got something that's really weighing on his mind. And can you imagine having your son look you in the face and asking, where is the lamb, and you looking right at him? Oh, that's a hard thing. But he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham speaking. how many of us have been in a tough situation? And we say, I know I can't figure it out. I can't straighten this thing out. But God will do this for Himself. Because God is going to keep His word. God is going to do this for His sake. That He doesn't look crazy. So He said, son, we going up here, don't you worry about it. God is going to provide for Himself. And see, Abraham is saying, no matter what we're going through, then, no matter how bad it seems, God is going to provide for Himself. God is never going to send you anywhere where He has not already made provision. He is never going to send you anywhere where He's not already made the way. We just got to continue. We've got to go and we've got to hold steadfast. And that's where we get to where I can't figure it out. I can't see it, but by faith, I'm going to keep going. By faith and holding on to the Word of God, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to go through. And they came to a place that God had told them of. And then the test comes. He binds his son, put the wood up there, and laid his son on the altar. Can you imagine that? Every man wants to have his son. But now God is going to take it away from me. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How many of us are willing to go to be killed for God? Got it up there? Ready to slay the tree. Why? Because God says so. Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Get from your friends, your family. Go, because I said so. I know what it looks like. I know what it seems like, but I said so. But even though you detoured, I got you out of the first one because of your life. I got you out of the second one because of your life. Now I gave you your son. Haven't I kept my word? And so now Abraham is saying, God has kept His word. God has been faithful. Now I'm going to be faithful to the Almighty God because no matter what happens, He's able to deliver. No matter what I do, He's able to make it right. And if He says it, I'm going to do it. And so he lifts up the knife and he gets ready to fight his son because what God said. So what has God told you? What has God told you? What has God told you? What has God said? I don't care what anybody else says. What has God told you? Because have you ever been in a situation, even when you have to make a decision in your own house, and God only spoke to you? Have you ever been in a situation where it gets rough and it gets tough and everybody looking at you like, Daddy, what we gonna do? And I just say, I don't know what we gonna do is what God wants to do. And that's what we gonna do. And everybody look at you and say, I don't care about what God says. What are you gonna do? What you gonna do? Because they ain't looking at God. They looking at you. But you gotta keep your eyes on God and don't worry about them. Because they can't see that God has already provided for Himself. Because through you, God is going to show them that if you follow this man who is living right, everything is going to be all right. Can somebody say amen? If you just follow him because he's following, because right now I'm testing his heart. Because after I test his heart and he proves it, oh, the blessings are going to come. And the blessings are not only going to come to him, but they're going to come to you. Because when it rains on the just, it also rains on the unjust. When the sun shines outside, it shines on everything. But if you're lined up with the man of the house, and the man of the house is lined up with God, and he is faithful and sold out to the things of God, in the word, in prayer, don't you worry about anything. Because you don't move until he moves. You don't sweat until he sweats. You don't tremble until he trembles. And he's not going to tremble because we are more than conquerors. Through Christ that lives on the inside of us. It may seem hard sometimes. The man may seem stern, but you just hold on. Do you want somebody that's shaky and trembling all the time? Or do you want somebody that's saying, if you come here, you got something to do. And then in my clothes here, the faith of the Lord called him to him out of Egypt. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither be thou anything unto him. For now I know. Does God know about you? He says, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What is the crazy thing that God has asked you to do? Follow through with you. Because it's a test. It's a test of your heart. It's a test to see if you're going to do what he's saying. When everybody else is telling you, you kind of crazy. Abraham, you're going to go up there and offer your son? You're kind of crazy. What kind of God going to tell you to do something like that? What kind of God going to tell you to do that? Behold, when Abraham did that, then he looked up and God provided for himself. Because God didn't want to kill his son. God provided for himself that ram that was there. And he took that ram and he made a sacrifice. And then that's where we get over in verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place to the home of God. As it is this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Your test, it shall be seen. If you just fall down unto the ram, throw up in the bush. If you just hold out until God calls down and says, don't worry about it, it's going to be all right, the blessing shall come. What am I saying to my men today? Be thou an example. Can you imagine what impact that had on his son? His son thought he was going to die. But in the end, he realized that my dad is sold out to the Lord. My dad is sold out to the things of God. That God, and God took me, put me up there. My dad was about to kill me, but because the faith of my dad, because my dad is a good example, studying the Word and trusting in God, because of that, the God of heaven came down, provided for something for a substitute for me. Oh, my goodness, my God, my God. My dad was trusting in the Lord with all his heart. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He didn't try to figure it out. God made a way. What type of example? Oh, I'm going to trust in the God that my dad is. I'm going to trust in the God that my dad follows. I'm going to trust in that God because that God is Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to trust in that God when I get hungry. I'm going to trust in that God when I don't have any money. I'm going to trust in that God when I don't have any friends because my daddy said he was willing to give me up. So he trusted that if he would have killed me, that God had the power to bring me back to life. And if that God has the power to bring me back to life, what other type of power does he have? He can resurrect you from any situation. Stand to your feet. He can resurrect any situation. Be thou an example, man. Be thou an example. Give God the glory. Give God his goal that he gives you. He'll bless you. And be true to that one girl that he gives you. Don't get in trouble. Be an example in righteousness and holiness. Be an example because our men, our young guys are looking at us. And how we act and react in situations. The men, you may be trembling underneath, but understand God has your back. Don't ever let him see you today.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.